the claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Recording in progress. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find, I've changed my mind, I've opened up the doors.
Well, in this day and age, everyone's needing a lot of help, including law enforcement and figuring out what the F is going on out there. There's so many staged events, so many false flags. I think it has your head spinning. This is all deliberate. The Democrats are going to run one of these maybe once a day right up to the midterm in the hope that the American people will be convinced mistakenly they ought to give up their guns, which is insane on its very face. How can anyone imagine taking weapons away from law-abiding citizens is going to increase their security? This is so damn dumb. I can't believe anyone is falling for it. But when it's endlessly repeated by the media over and over, when you got this moron Biden and his whole staff and everyone else on the Democratic side insisting we got to take guns away, you know something is terribly wrong. Well, in an effort to do something about this, to lend a hand, to help law enforcement, Brian Davidson and I have put together a law enforcement false flag stage event checklist. Brian, as you know, is a private investigator, Panoramic Investigations. He's been doing brilliant, brilliant work on a whole range of issues, including Sandy Hook, where he got into the Connecticut State Police files. Their archive shows they've removed all the metadata, which is something no law enforcement agency would do unless it wanted to guarantee that none of that evidence would be courtroom admissible. In other words, they're seeking to protect themselves by destroying the judicial admissibility of evidence they themselves had accumulated. Fortunately, some of those photographs, like the crime scene vehicle being in the parking lot, where crime scene tape is up already before the crime has even been committed, are so damning that they're inescapable with or without metadata, because a string of windows over classroom 10 is not shot out. After the event, it would be. So we see here the presence of the crime scene with crime tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. There can't be a single more powerful piece of evidence. During my debate with Rebecca Carnes on Friday, when Giuseppe asked what was our strongest proof, I offered that as evidence. Brian not only did a brilliant job, but he exposed it in their photographs they have of the hallway where there's supposed to be dead bodies, nothing. In the classroom where there's supposed to be blood all over the place, nothing. No signs of any shooting having occurred at Sandy Hook. Then, as though that could not be topped, he did a completely sensational dissection of the Buffalo video, taking it apart frame by frame to show it's not only totally fake, we have no shell casing being emitted from the weapon, which is all painted up. And, of course, he drove in just like the fake gunman down at Christchurch, New Zealand, where they took away all the guns from the New Zealanders on the basis of a totally fabricated event. You had bodies falling before they were even hit. You had a shadow cast that indicated he could use a sundial analysis and determine that photograph, that film, that video had been taken at 1:18, which was like before the police came at 3:32. It was the rehearsal video, not even the real event. I mean, they're talking about mucking it up big time. This is one of the best dissections I've ever seen. And then in Uvalde, he's doing even more. So I'm delighted to say I got Brian with me here today. I want to introduce our false flag analysis You can find it on my blog at jamesvetzer.org. It's the latest. It's right there. It's available to everyone, and you can download the PDF. You can download the PDF to send it around and share it. Here's what I added as my editor's note. We have prepared a checklist for law enforcement as guidelines in detecting, exposing stage events and false flags that are being used to deceive and manipulate the public. You can download the PDF from this site here. Just click right on the red. You can download it directly to your desktop. Please share this as far and wide as you can, beginning with your county sheriff and local police departments. There's a ghost of a chance that it just might make a difference. Time is short. They want to take our guns. Act now. Let me introduce Brian today. I'm so delighted he could join me. We are going to do our best to get the word out. Brian, you are doing such exceptional work. I really think this is appropriate. That law enforcement, you mentioned to me before we came on the show, are bewildered and demoralized. Maybe this will help them to get their bearings and restore confidence in what they're doing by taking action to expose these frauds. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. Uvalde is a more of a challenge than Buffalo. With Buffalo, they handed us the secret sauce and allowed us to do a frame-by-frame analysis, which was pretty easy to pick it off. I mean, took a couple of days of sitting in front of the computer just observing and going through the video twice. In this case, we don't have much to work with. They locked the scene down very, very well, very, very quickly. They kept that expanded perimeter, and they've been protecting it like a military operation ever since. So breaking this case is going to be a lot more challenging than anything that I've encountered up to this point. With Sandy Hook, obviously, we had the Connecticut State Police files that were finally dropped by the Connecticut State Police, and it didn't take long of working with those to see it was obvious that that school was not set up like a normal working classroom. There was not enough blood where it should be. There was rounds that were unexplainably entered vehicles at improper angles. There was the windows were open. It was 18 degrees that day. Why you would be teaching little children with the windows open still has me scratching my head. But there were just too many things about it. And then when you cross-reference that with the relics of your book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, especially Dr. Aylwin's chapter, it becomes pretty obvious that Sandy Hook was an operation, a psychological operation. And if you're listening out there right now, you either have been able to break through the facade and understand mentally that that's what these operations are, or maybe you're just joining the movement and you're questioning whether or not these are truly psychological operations. Like they said, it's my opinion that they are. Proving Uvalde is going to be a little more challenging because I don't have the earliest and most reliable evidence to be able to work with in terms of what actually happened inside the building. And I fear that that's going to be protected forever from on high by the Prince of Darkness himself. So they're pushing the operations. They're pushing them quickly. They want us to cave. And I have a feeling that they're working on a very short timeline. The Biden administration isn't going to last forever. I don't know if they think they can control the election outcomes in the next round. And they might lose the power and the control to take a look at this. I'm going to suggest that everybody take a close look at who their senators are and who their House of Representatives are, try to figure out where they fall in the paradigm, and get them out of there if they're not patriots. There's not too many patriots left out there. Fortunately, the ones that are out there have great, loud voices, and they still stand strong. And I'm proud of every one of them. I think a lot of our police officers are patriots. I think a lot of the people that are working involved with these shootings are patriots. And I think that there's just a tremendous amount of pressure. And given enough time and given enough pressure, I think that there's going to be some breaks that we're going to have. But at this point in time, I can tell you that we're able to put together the scene from what we're told is the crash at 11:27 all the way through approximately 1:30 afternoon, pretty much knowing everything that happened on the outside of the building. But knowing what happened on the inside is still something that it may remain a mystery for many, many years.
Well, they're going to do their best to tear down the school right away. Biden was talking about it. He knows how to cover up evidence. Actually, he's being told what to say. I don't think anything but the gaps originate from his own mind. He's basically a teleprompter reader, just as Vanna White was a letter turner. This guy is a teleprompter reader, no more, no less, and a complete weakling, cognitively incompetent, a disgrace. That the Democrat Party would put a stooge like Biden in place and deliberately by stealing the election is an outrage and an insult to every American. I had only one caveat. My impression was the temperature was 38 Fahrenheit, which is above freezing at 32, it was still so cold that you could not conduct classes without heating the building, and it appears there was no heat or steam rising from the building, no doubt because the boilers were dysfunctional from having been out of service since 2008, by which the school was closed. Let me turn to our checklist. Here we begin. The authors collectively of 40-plus years of private investigative research and critical analysis of politically significant but factually anomalous events, where aspects are puzzling because they do not add up, and where consideration must be given to whether they may have been staged or faked, and blamed on other parties to promote an agenda such as gun control. Here are some rules of thumb indicating that you could be dealing with situation, which means they are highly reliable but not infallible evidential indicators. Early signs. No surge of EMTs. No string of ambulances. No medevac choppers called. Authentic public medical resources, as a rule, do not participate in staged events because they may be needed for bona fide medical emergencies. So you do not see them at Sandy Hook, the Boston Marathon bombing, Orlando, Parkland, Las Vegas, Buffalo, or Uvalde. If they have only token presence, that is a strong indication you are dealing with a staged event. In Boston, for example, police would not allow real MDs to approach the victims who were amputee crisis actors. Brian, you know, at Uvalde, we do have a photograph of one emergency vehicle, but there's supposed to be 19 dead kids. You have two teachers and a whole bunch of wounded. You're obviously not going to cram them all in one vehicle. I think they get a private vehicle to come in to try to create that impression, but it's obviously really blown apart by those considerations. Sandy Hook, no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulance, no medevac copter chart. They even put down a triage tarp, but no bodies, dead or wounded, were ever placed upon them. Similarly, in Orlando, you had civilians tossing people who were wounded into pickup trucks, which is as absurd as it gets, but there was no EMTs, no string of ambulance, no medevac chopper. It was all ridiculous. Same thing in these other instances, even in Las Vegas. I mean, it's just insulting beyond belief. Those are really good tells in terms of the big picture. Your thoughts?
Well, Uvalde, you know, the first ambulance didn't arrive on scene until sometime about 12:40 p.m. I'm not sure if the rest of the ambulances were parked off site where there was no danger. But you have one ambulance arrive about 11:30. I actually wrote this up yesterday. I should take a look at and get the facts right, but I'm just going to give you the general big picture. What's interesting about watching the Angel Ledesma video, which was the primary source that we have for what happened at the church between 11:54 and 12:54, the Angel Ledesma video has a curious lack of sirens. There's a couple of them that come in here and there. There is a helicopter that washes out some of the sound, but it's a very quiet, very peaceful environment, almost like the people that were in charge of the psychological part of the operation had said, look, we don't want to get these families and these people stirred up too much, so let's just keep it real quiet and keep the scene real peaceful. And they did a good job of doing that. That ambulance arrives, a gurney is pulled out of it approximately 4 minutes later and then returned approximately I believe it was like 11:52 or 11:53 with what appears to be a body with its legs, a body of an adult with its legs up. That gurney is then entered into the ambulance, and the ambulance moves off without the use of sirens. Other ambulances do come peeling in after that, but they don't come in mass until after the buses have been brought out around the corner, headed north towards where the truck was crashed. The buses were loaded up with the remaining kids whose parents were not there, and then moved to, I guess, a civic center for the parents to come and collect their kids. And it was only after the buses went out that they brought in four more ambulances. Again, no lights, no sirens. And I am not convinced. We should have been able to pick up helicopter footage or something that shows that they're wheeling people into these ambulances. It just simply doesn't take place. There's one area that seems to be set up outside of the back door of the cafeteria where the shooter entered, where there does appear to be some sort of red substance. Of course, we've been studying false flags for a long, long time, and we know that that they'll often use blood squibs, some sort of packets to do that. So I don't know exactly what happened with that, but the only verifiable person being rolled away on a gurney that I can possibly find is this one person that had some larger white legs that makes me believe it was an adult of some sort. And the area that staged, there is zero helicopter footage of anybody, any EMTs actually working on a body there. Although if you do study the image very carefully from the helicopters, you'll find some of the leftovers from what would be sanitary packs that were broken open. And so there's some trash sitting there along with a red carryable gurney. So I have big questions. If you look at the overall analysis and a lot of the earliest reliable evidence, there's, you know, I've said this before, it's obvious to everybody, not everybody dies instantly from a gunshot wound. Most of the gunshot wound victims that are out there that don't get a straight headshot or a straight heart shot will die as a result of sepsis from the primary and secondary cavities becoming infected. This just doesn't feel right in terms of there's mass casualties and mass injuries. You don't have an ambulance arriving on the scene till over an hour later. You mean to tell me that they're in there and they're just so busy hunting the shooter that they're not going to find any survivors and they're going to be pouring out the back door into whatever emergency vehicles they can possibly conjure up? I don't buy it. I'm sorry, but I'm a critical thinker and I just simply don't buy it.
I love it, Brian. And you're making the point too that they are learning from their past mistakes. And if in Buffalo there was a video that could be dissected and dismembered piece by piece, they're not going to give you any such evidence here. So they're going to do their best to conceal everything. But all the points you're making are damning. When you look at those checklists, no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulance, no medevac choppers called, those are all signs of a false flag. And even if there's a token presence, the circumstances, as you're describing them at Uvalde, indicates all those signs are checked for Uvalde. Then we get more confirmation. No blood, no bodies, dead shooter. At Sandy Hook,
even find a string of blood coming out the back door. You can't even find where blood is dripping off of bodies coming out the back door. It just simply doesn't add up. There's one spot from a helicopter footage. That's it. That's all you get.
Yes. Yes. Very, very good. Confirmations. No blood, no bodies, dead shooter at Sandy Hook. The parents were not even permitted to see their children who identified using photographs, apparently because they only existed in the form of photographs. In Boston, there was initially no blood, which only showed up later and came out of small orange duffel bags. In Parkland, we have a 57-second video showing a black training dummy with no head and no arms lying on a pool of fake blood and fake cops rushing in and out to boot. Further proof, conflicting stories, crisis actors, instant publicity, calls for gun control from parents who are not displaying appropriate signs of grief is a tell that they're not in a state of grief, but promoting a political agenda. Orlando was egregious. At Sandy Hook, donation sites were posted before the alleged shooting had even taken place. In Buffalo, A black eyewitness reported speaking with a white supremacist shooter for an hour the previous day and was reporting the timing of shots to the tenth of a second. In Uvalde, two dads for the same kid, a school teacher from Sandy Hook, made an appearance in Uvalde, too. Brian, it's just insulting. They want to rub our noses in it. This woman who played the role of Victoria Soto, a teacher at Sandy Hook, who's supposed to have packed 15 first graders into a 3x4 bathroom, which had a door that swung inward, and then herself another 100 pounds. If you take 15 times, say, 50 pounds apiece, that's 750, her another 850 pounds of screaming humanity in a 3x4 bathroom with a door that swings inward. I mean, this is just insulting, and they cast her again at Uvalde. It's unbelievable. Your thoughts?
Well, the same scenario developed. Look, there's remnants of scripts all over the place. Obviously, the original script on Sandy Hook was that Adam Lanza was a disgruntled 18-year-old student. Of course, I'm not even sure if we can verify he existed. I've got one police report in the Sandy Hook files that say Lanza's mother's ex-boyfriend had told her that she needed to be out of town for the shooting, taken by an actual police officer, apparently, and it's inside the Sandy Hook files. But we find remnants of other scripts. I think when they do one, they say this worked well and this didn't work well. For instance, we brought up earlier the issue of the windows being open at Sandy Hook, 38 degrees out. It just doesn't make sense. I think part of the original script was that the kids were going to fall out of the windows. And what do we see in this script here in Uvalde? We've got the kids coming out the windows. Now, why they wouldn't march them right out the front door and all the other buildings, I don't know. But the other buildings, they've got them being pulled out of windows. It's odd. The remnant of the script from Sandy Hook that it's a disgruntled 18-year-old mentally insufficient guy that's able to acquire guns that kills his grandmother. Again, in Sandy Hook, it's killed his mother. And then he goes to an elementary school. And just take a look at that issue from a big picture, because I think that's where the narrative really begins to crack in a lot of newbies' minds in terms of taking a look at these. The narrative is that he was so disappointed with life and he was so upset that he killed his grandmother and then went to an elementary school to kill a bunch of children, a bunch of babies. That feels like a play on our emotions, doesn't it? Doesn't that just feel like you can't come up with anything more horrific or more tragic, so you absolutely shouldn't be able to question it. You absolutely shouldn't be able to look into it. We've got to lock the scene down like it's a military-style operation. The psychology of it is designed to pull on the weak-minded heartstrings of many, many people. And when the emotion of this thing dies down and people like us begin to really put an analysis on this, I think these people, they've got a ticking time bomb on their hands in terms of being able to hold this together. Sooner or later, there's going to be some good patriots from law enforcement, local sheriffs, whatever, that step up to the plate and say, something isn't right here. And so we set up a tip line at Uvalde Tips at proton.me. And we need help in a lot of different areas. I need help in a lot of areas. I can't analyze all of this all by myself all the time. I can spend a day on a single issue just trying to validate it. And I'm hoping to get some of the public's help in a lot of different areas. I'm beginning to write my long list of questions and come up with the ideas for how I'm going to get the information. But at the end of the day, we could have a big shortcut with an anonymous email. If you law enforcement folks out there that have questions about this would just simply take the time. If you're concerned about your anonymity, go ahead and get a VPN, log into proton.me, create an account, and pop an email over to UvaldeTips@proton.me. I don't need to know who you are right now. We're just getting a feel for the big picture. Maybe I can email you back later, but we need help. Something obviously smells funny on this. A few guys with their computers from hundreds of miles away can't break something like this. We need eyes on the ground and people that are there to give us analysis and tips about what they saw, where we're wrong. If I'm wrong, please, I need to know so I can fix it as soon as possible. And if I'm right or I'm on the right track, there's smoke, take a closer look, then, you know, we need to know. That's why the whole thing is set up the way we set it up. It was an old cyber guy that was a high-level government-type guy that helped me set up the system. He's assured me that it's about as good as you can get. This is America, and I don't know if there's perfect, but at sooner or later, everybody needs to take a chance. And if you've got information for us, we sure could use it. That's why we're making this push.
Well, Brian, you're making a lot of really valuable points. This says Buffalo was modeled on the New Zealand false flag, which was utterly amateurish. You can verify it. Go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and look for JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 shows. And the second or third down the list is New Zealand. You can see the whole bloody thing right there, and you can see how much it was modeled. In the case of this Uvalde, clearly Sandy Hook, Adam, who was actually supposed to be 20 years old, and according to the Social Security Death Index, died on the 13th, making his feat in shooting 20 kids and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable. Only weighed about 112 pounds. He's supposed to have shot his mother with a .22 caliber rifle and then gone over to what's supposed to be an elementary school, although it's lacking many of the signs. There's no parking for teachers, no dock to unload supplies for the cafeteria or for the school and so forth. In other words, I'm even skeptical that this was actually an elementary school, though they seem to have put the words elementary school on it, but they don't appear to be weather-worn. This is another form of cover-up. And then shoot, you know, first grader, so they bury the cadence. Now he's shooting his grandmother. My impression is she actually survived, but I could be mistaken. And then goes to this Ross Elementary and shoots second, third, and fourth graders. Right, we can't make it exactly the same. But how damn parallel can you get? This is just ridiculous and insulting beyond belief. And Brian, I'm so glad. Repeat that tip line where people can add information, because I'm with you. We want to get this right. We aren't at that right. We want to get right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up. and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Long-time listeners to the show might be surprised that I'd be debating Rebecca Carnes, because years ago when she came out as a Newtown mom who'd figured out that Sandy Hook was a hoax, I thought she was a sensation. She's very articulate, very passionate. She really can express herself well. But it seems she's taken a turn to the dark side in more senses than one. She has attacked Sophia Smallstorm, Wolfgang Helbig, and me. We are supposed to be agents of the state. She believes there was a satanic aspect to this and that kids really were killed. She claims it's easier that way. Well, all the evidence is the opposite. It's easier just to pay crisis actors, have them sign non-disclosure forms, and they know where their money is coming as long as they keep their mouths shut. So I think Rebecca's got it all wrong, but it's archived. You can go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and watch it. I mean, I would love to get your reaction, because I was promoting Rebecca as the greatest thing since sliced bread. I thought she was such a revelation to be a Newtown mom who'd gone through all of this. And I think you'll find that one side has a lot of evidence and proof, and the other side is long on theory and short on facts. But I want you to make that judgment for yourselves independently. Certainly worthwhile to see what Rebecca has to say and whether you find it even remotely persuasive. Now, Brian and I put this together in order to give you everyone, but especially law enforcement, a quick way to assess what's going on here. For additional corroboration, no investigation, calls for action, massive coverage. When every talking head is giving the same pitch about the horrific shooting and demand for gun control, where most of these are designed to promote the Democrats' gun control agenda, often with the complicity of local law enforcement and even of the FBI, it becomes entirely apparent this was a staged event to promote a political agenda, an egregious example of which was a Jussie Smollett hate crime timed to benefit the anti-lynching bill of Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Blatant example, the Buffalo grocery store mass shooting. And remember, it's always mass. They even redefined the word mass shooting to what it takes, the number to be only now four. In the past, it was a higher number, but they didn't get enough of mass shootings, which is why they can go back and recalibrate their statistics. It's like COVID. You know, they change the definition of what it takes to classify as a COVID, then use the unreliable test, the PCR test, which was not designed for diagnosis, and then reclassified millions of cases of the flu. In fact, over 37 million cases of the flu reclassified as COVID to create the appearance, the mass illusion of a pandemic. Check out TPF, that's a perfect triangle, special report, the Buffalo shooting video fake, where Brian and I made an appearance. And then on Uvalde, two episodes of this very show, the raw deal from the 1st of June and then the raw deal from the 3rd of June, where Danny Cirrus was there and Brian made a guest appearance with an update. Brian, your further thoughts about these aspects and whatever else you want to add.
My thoughts are we're going to be very humble about Uvalde, and we want to make sure that we get it right. There's obviously a lot at stake. There's a lot of public officials that may or may not be involved. It's very difficult to determine who to trust. It's just going to take time. I don't want the audience to get their hopes up too high. Buffalo was easy. They gave us the hints here. Just not that much to work off of, except for circumstantial evidence and some crisis actors. I'm not as worried about the crisis actors. Of course, if you can prove one got paid, that's a big deal. But there are bigger fish to fry here than some people that are getting a bag of money to say some things on television and push a particular agenda. And I'm not saying who they are, if they even exist, but I am saying that this whole thing smells very, very funny. I can tell you that at the scene, that place is locked down. There's something that they don't want anybody getting their eyes on, and that's the way it's going to be, probably until they destroy the school. It was already announced yesterday that, and I do have the article somewhere in my files. I don't remember exactly where I saved it, but DPS is going to be leveraging some Texas laws that are going to allow them to dodge any open records requests or any FOIA requests on this particular case. One of the things that bothers me the most about this case is how do you announce that he acted alone two and a half hours after the shooting was even, after the media was even notified? And that's what they did. Go look at the DPS's earliest press conference. They say it appears he acted alone. They're still sticking with the same script, even though it's obvious that he's got $9,000 worth of guns. I'm not even taking their word for it in terms of the identity of the shooter. I'm not even taking their word for it in terms of grandma got shot and then he traveled 10 minutes to the school when it's a 55-second drive. They've gotten their facts wrong from the very beginning. I don't know what to trust anymore. They're trying to clean up the mess. I think they've got their hands full. And you know, the last thing they need right now is a couple of people like us poking around trying to tear it up. But that's exactly what we're doing. I think the public and the American people need to know what's up. I think guns are very important for whatever's coming with this global New World Order concept or whatever it is that they're laying out. And I sure would like to see the good people of America be able to protect themselves from whatever crawls out of those major cities when the food crisis hits or the gas hits $7 a gallon. Because when that day hits and society starts to break down, a good idea to have a gun.
Brian, I respect your professional restraint, but every single point you've made about the situation and the mess and the lack of a coherent narrative spells false flag. They obviously don't want anyone to access because, as at Sandy Hook, there was no bodies in the building, no blood on the floor, no pockmarks on the wall. Of course, they're going to lock it down. I say, based on my experience, there's plenty of evidence here. This was a classic stage event, a false flag. I have no hesitation whatsoever. 100% fake. And remember, what you want to do in reasoning through is ask yourself, what is the probability of the available evidence if this was real? And what is the probability of the available evidence if this was fake? You got a story where a teacher apparently left a door open. You got him crashing the vehicle. He's driving in a Ford F-150 advertised all over the place. That even looks like product placement to me. He's supposed to have been shooting before he got there. We don't have the ambulances showing up. We don't have any bodies. We don't have any blood. False flag, 100%. None of that is probable if it was real. All of it is probable if it were fake. We measure the preferability of hypotheses by comparing the probability of the evidence if it were real to the probability of the evidence it were fake. The probability of the evidence it's fake is very high. The probability of the evidence if it were real is very low. There's no question but what the preferable hypothesis is that this was fake. Now, what Brian is doing is hesitating to take that further step, which is we need to have all the evidence settled down to conclude, to accept in the tentative and fallible fashion of science that it was fake. But I'm telling you, all the evidence points in the same direction. I have proof positive. We had crisis actors there. You got two guys claiming to be the dad of the same kid. What the F? I mean, they made so many blunders here. He apparently couldn't even keep a job at some kind of fast food. He was unemployed. He didn't have the money. These are high-end AR-15s he's supposed to have possessed. He's supposed to have toted in a ton of ammunition, which he could not have even carried in, if I get the count right. So, look, I 100% appreciate, particularly given Brian is a professional private investigator, that he is going to be cautious. And I respect that. He's doing brilliant job of all of these with regard to Sandy Hook and with regard to Buffalo, absolutely sterling. I tell you, the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. The relative probabilities of the evidence on the alternative hypotheses leaves, in my judgment, no doubt about it. But sure, if we get more evidence, an alternative hypothesis, we may have to revise our stance, reject hypotheses we previously accepted, accept hypotheses we previously rejected, and leave others in suspense. But look at how rapidly they're promoting this. They're trying to get all kinds of gun measures through Congress right now. No hesitation, no time to investigate, because they don't want to lose the emotional impact from playing it up that a bunch of kids got killed. All phony, all fake. Mark my words for it. Don't let yourself be played. Meanwhile, in addition to those wonderful recordings, all of which you can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, here I list training videos reviewing a dozen or more with quick takes exposing them as fake. How to spot a false flag, part one. How to spot a false flag, part two. A 4th of July special with Bill Binney, our leading cybersecurity expert, and Dr. Catherine Horton, How to Spot a False Flag, and False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2020. I have all the links there where you can download these shows or you can access them in the PDF. The links are live. More resources, my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Background. Disarming law-abiding citizens does not make them more secure. The nonsense being peddled by President and past Democrat administration would bring about a minimum of 200,000 additional deaths of Americans by depriving them of the defensive use of guns, which the gun grabbers and their allies in the media do not report. But it would make the U.S. easier to invade by a foreign power, which may be the point. Then I link the Second Amendment and politics of gun control for a rather thorough exploration of the issue, and where I point out that guns are useful on three different levels, not only for home defense, but to protect your community. If riots were to break out or a biker gang started raping, looting, killing, you could defend your community. But also, look, there are going to be food shortages. It's going to be spreading out from urban to suburban and then from suburban to rural. If you cannot defend yourself, they will invade your home to take whatever food or other resources you may have. Mark my words. Not to mention, of course, what the founding fathers had in mind all along, to wit, to have an armed citizenry that could serve as a militia for the nation's defense, not only to thwart a foreign invader, where it appears the Biden administration is doing everything it can to set it up. More than one are speculating that this is all to promote, make it easy for the Chinese to take over America, literally, physically, to invade us, but also to overthrow a tyrannical government. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer don't want the people getting uppity to recognize their rights are being violated, that they have traitors who are running the American government and take it out on them. For God's sake, take the guns away from the people or we may wind up like Marie Antoinette and her husband, the King of France, whose heads were separated from their bodies. Brian, I think the administration is really acting to benefit itself, but taking guns away from the American people is absurd. There are millions of defensive uses of guns every year. Typically, they don't even have to be fired. Once a perp recognizes his victim is armed, they turn tail and get out of Dodge. But it's also been estimated that around 200,000 lives are saved every single year by the defensive use of guns. I have not heard one time on any network discussion of the defensive use of guns, with the exception that Tucker, I recall, mentioned it. He's done some recent programs on the Second Amendment that were simply superb. Your thoughts?
I'm a huge fan of guns used properly and stored properly. And I think that they're wanting to pass anything they can possibly pass that would erode those rights. For instance, have the police ever been called out to your house because of a child's bad behavior? Have you ever had a domestic violence type situation with a wife or somebody that you're having a disagreement with in your house? Well, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to have guns in the house because your kids go to school and the child had a fight at school. I think they're going to press every angle that they possibly can. And this is a marathon for them. You've got to understand that if you see the world through the same lens that I see it through, you'll understand that these people are running a marathon, a long, long play to try to disarm and enslave. We're getting closer and closer and closer to crisis. There are many people, my neighbors, my friends, that are concerned about what's beginning to happen, and we're down here in Texas. And just to touch on the issue of law enforcement, there's a reason I don't trust DPS. There is a video that I have of the outside of the church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. It was taken shortly after the Sutherland Springs massacre, where the shooter went through 14 30-round magazines from within the church and outside of the church. The video is of the outside of the church, and there are no broken windows. There are no bullet holes to be observed at all. So if you're thinking this, something like this couldn't happen in Texas, think again. Go ahead and try to find some of that early footage from a guy by the name of Sidethorn, who I believe is still dealing with his legal problems as a result of obtaining that video. And he worked with a lady by the name of Conspiracy Granny, and she's still dealing with the issues related to their dogged approach to breaking these things open. But that's a local issue. What Jim's talking about here is much more of a larger deal for our national audience, which is, what happens when the criminals get loose and break down? I have personally seen them turn tail and run when I had them in my sights. And of course, thank God I never had to pull any triggers, but it's true. The gun is the great equalizer. Whether you're a woman or whether you're a 19-year-old girl or whoever you are, a gun is the great equalizer. And as long as the bad guys have them, the good guys ought to have them as well. So I'm a big Second Amendment guy. And you that are in law enforcement out there, you know this. You know that the good guys with guns is a good thing for everybody. Why are we working with these people to try to push these agendas? Are you, too, under the same sort of black magic spell? Have you been your entire life watching Fox News and thinking that you were being told the truth or CNN? Is it time to break loose from that paradigm and start to question everything? Guys, I'm doing the very best I can, and Jim and I are both doing the very best we can to get you the best possible information that we can. We take the truth very, very seriously. And back to what Jim originally said in this conversation, he's right. The most elegant solution to this problem is that they use the 71 minutes to stage up the space. Just think about it. It's the most elegant solution to the problem. Where are the ambulances? Where's the processing? There's a lot of problems here, and that's a very elegant solution. And therefore, because it's so elegant, we need to pursue it and take a look at it. And if we turn out to be wrong, okay, so what? We did our best. We're still trying to be patriots.
Well, it's the essence of rationality to base your conclusions on all the available evidence, and as more evidence becomes available, to adjust them accordingly. So there's nothing irrational or irresponsible about adopting conclusions in the tentative, infallible fashion of science. Tentative meaning as new evidence come in or alternative hypotheses, you may have to change your mind. Fallible, even the best supported hypothesis or theory might ultimately turn out to be false, as we have with classic Newtonian physics for 200 years regarded as the closest thing to absolute truth science could establish, appropriate to all regions of space and time, but it turned out to be a special case for regions of space that are relatively short and in velocities that are relatively modest in relation to the speed of light, as Einstein demonstrated by the theory of relativity. So even the greatest paradigm of scientific knowledge turned out to be false. When new evidence arose, an alternative theory that put it into perspective, it was accepted. If Brian and I find evidence that Uvalde were bona fide on the up and up and everything else was just kind of noise, we would accept that. But there's no reason to accept it. This is all evidence that is already in proof, as it were. It's already in evidence. You got the car, the vehicle, the guns, the alleged shooter, the scenario modeled after Sandy Hook, fake crisis actor Victoria Soto making a debut at Uvalde. That all by itself is a stunner. It's like Susan Bro, who leads the plaintiffs in their lawsuits against Remington, turns out to be the same woman, the same crisis actor who played the same woman, the Donna Soto, who led the charge against Remington and Sandy Hook, is the same woman playing Susan Bro, the mother of Heather Heyer in Charlottesville. They're rubbing this in our face. This is insulting beyond belief. I mean, don't let yourself be played. We have more conspiracy theorists. Those who expose these false flags and stage events are liable to be attacked as conspiracy theorists, which is a form of self-defense by the government. Conspiracy theorists are exposing crimes the government does not want exposed because, more often than not, they lead back to the government. Don't let yourself be played. If you know what's going on, then you should be a conspiracy theorist, a conspiracy analyst, or a conspiracy realist. Check out my James H. Fetzer, PhD, Thinking About Conspiracy Theories, JFK and 9/11. You can download it from the net. Jim Fetzer, What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories? You can find it online at oons.com. Jim Fetzer, PhD, Conspiracy Theorists Are Investigating Crimes. No wonder they want to silence us. On my blog, mind you, if you download the PDF, all of the links in the PDF are live links. You got a whole course on conspiracy theories and false flags at your fingertip in that single document. Take advantage of it. Brian.
Well, I appreciate that you put the False Flags and Conspiracies 2020 conference in there. I listened to that live all the way through while I was working in the garden. That to me was one of the most insightful groups of guests you've ever put together. I'm looking forward to whatever you're putting together for 2022. And yes, as a conspiracy theorist, maybe I will ask questions like, has anybody bothered answering how this guy crashed his truck and why he crashed his truck? I mean, that's a very violent crash. He's literally a 55-second drive from the school. Why couldn't he just pull up to the back door? Does he have a driver's license? How did he get his guns? Conspiracy theorists, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. These are real questions. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're asking questions that nobody's even bothered addressing. I'll also tell you something else. There is a lot of buzz out there and a lot of wind that there is some surveillance video that was live related to this event. There was something. It's all been erased. There's a bunch of people looking around for it. If you have it, any insight into that other surveillance video that I could help be added to my earliest and most reliable evidence, please send me a tip at evalditips@proton.me. I need to find that. I know there's somebody out there that's got a skill set that's more advanced than mine that can probably bring that back up. I don't think you're going to find it on the surface web. I think you're going to have to go to the dark web to get it. Not my specialty, although I've been there and done that. But I need that early surveillance video to be able to put these pieces together.
Well, the fact that it's not readily available speaks volumes or suppressing what would be the best evidence, because it would blow apart the case. There's no other explanation for it. If they had bona fide evidence, they'd be sharing it. They don't. In relation to Orlando, they actually even made up fake evidence. The club had been closed. The permit had expired 3 years before. That's when it was repainted from white to black. It only had 11 parking spaces. The official account claims there were over 300 packed in there like sardines because it only had 150 legal occupancy. The video they contrived with no date or time stamps shows guys dancing, but there's plenty of room. It's all very open. It's not even possible this could be the same building. It's all fake. So they'll share phony video, but the real stuff they're going to conceal. We have that ourselves. We'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Jim's not quite back in his chair yet. So the tip line that we set up is UvaldiTips@proton.me. It's only accessed in a certain way at a certain time. It is as secure as I think that we can achieve, given the fact that we're dealing with the general public. I think your information will be safe with me. I've been very careful about making sure that it remains safe. Everything's properly encrypted and properly protected, and it's only accessed from just the right place at just the right time with just the right setup. And if you're concerned about getting information to us, we could certainly use copies or photographs of any documents that you may have or that you can get us, or even tips as to where to find them. Again, UvaldiTips@proton.me. I recommend Proton. I'm not being paid in any way, but Proton VPN, Proton Mail, Proton.me. Seems to be something that you can rely on. So just go set up a sock puppet, name yourself Jack Smith, load it up, and go ahead and pop off some information so that we can start to put some pieces together and validate some of this in secondary and tertiary ways to make sure that we've got something that makes sense. Also, I'm looking for any information related to a military aircraft by the name of Ronin 42. If somebody out there can do some research on that and try to figure out what this military recon plane was doing in the air at that particular time, I sure would like to know. Why was the transponder on and off? Was the transponder on and off, or was it just simply erased? Flight Radar 24, the premium package allows you to go back in time, and I've been able to inspect all the flight records related to what was happening in and around Uvalde. I can tell you that there is some very, very, very strange anomalies about those flights. You would expect that Life Flight would have shown up and would have taken all these people to the hospital. I think they said there were 10 victims. They wouldn't have been driven. They would have been Life Flighted. Do the Life Flight records seem to indicate that? I can also tell you that that night there was a legitimate medical emergency, it appears, up in Kerrville, which would be, you know, it's an hour north to San Antonio and then probably another hour north to Kerrville. So it would be something that those flights, those Life Flight type medical evac birds would have been dispatched to. So If anybody can put the pieces together for that on that, I sure would appreciate it. I can send you my research related to flights, but I sure would like to get an analysis from somebody who actually knows how to take a closer look at those records. I don't have a lot of experience with them.
Good work, Brian, filling in. I was on my laptop reading back, you know, feedback to putting out our false flag checklist, and it's all very, very positive. Half a dozen, some really raves. Another is mentioning how they've been suspicious of Rebecca when I first brought her on, that she suddenly turns up to be a Newtown mom before he looks at the actual debate we had, which I reiterate is available on my BitChute channel, Jim Petzer. He just wanted to say that he'd been concerned all along. My own take is Rebecca's very sincere, but that she can be persuaded one way or another and isn't affected by the strength or weight of the evidence, because most of what she's reporting was hearsay, even double, triple hearsay. Somebody said something. Somebody knew somebody. I don't think the one evidence she claimed was supposed to be a yearbook for the school, but the CI specializes in fabricating documents. So I don't think anyone ought to find that substantial. I mentioned during the debate, let's go back and find teacher of the year or bake sale or whatever at this school, because those things are commonplace. None of it can be found because the school wasn't in operation after 2008. So I don't want to prejudge. Obviously, we're debating. We're on different sides of the issue. But take a look, because Rebecca's doing her very best to lay out a case that I have something wrong about Sandy Hook. And along the way, she's taking swipes, which I believe are completely unwarranted, against Sophia Smallstorm and Wolfgang Halbig, with whom I traveled to Newtown in 2014. Let me continue, by the way. We add our background. Our signature as follows. Jim Petzer, PhD, is a former Marine Corps officer and retired university professor who offered courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning for 35 years. He has been a serious student of conspiracies and false flags since 1992 and has pioneered collaborative research in this area by bringing together experts in different disciplines to sort things out. He has 24-plus books in traditional academic areas and 12-plus in conspiracy research, six of which have been banned by Amazon.com. He currently has a petition pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. Contact jfetzer@d.umn.edu, and both my home and cell number are provided there. Brian Davidson, PI, has been a licensed private investigator in the state of Texas for 10 years. He has conducted seminars related to open source intelligence research and has contributed to research related to Sandy Hook, the Buffalo shooting, the Pulse nightclub, and many others. His company, Panoramic Investigations, is a general investigation firm that has handled many aspects of investigations from criminal defense, fraud, property crimes, murder, bank robbery, and others as well. Mr. Davidson can be reached at 832-304-3577. His website is panoramicinvestigations.com. He currently operates the international secure tip lines related to the Uvalde shooting, where tips can be anonymously sent, uvaldetips@proton.me. Brian, further comments here. I've mentioned several times how Parkland was such a fraud, and we have some of the alleged Parkland parents weighing in about how awful it is what's going on in Uvalde. But it's easy to prove Parkland was a total fraud. They sent the kids home at 1 p.m. because it was Valentine's Day, a holiday. Only a few dozen stay behind. Even David Hogg, 6 hours after he participated in the March for Our Lives, which was just a few weeks after the Parkland shooting and allegedly inspired by it, even though in Washington, D.C., you must submit a permit request if you're going to close the street 6 months in advance. So this whole damn thing was arranged for the March for Our Lives 6 months before it occurred, only weeks after, showing the whole damn thing was totally fraudulent. During an interview after he spoke at the March for Our Lives, David Hogg admitted that he'd gone home that day and then realized something was going on at the school and got on his bicycle and went back to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas for the fraudulent event. How bad is that? Brian, your further thoughts.
Well, I'm going to use this opportunity to just tell you a little bit of the story so that you can understand how I got to where I'm at. I was just a normal guy. 2016 came around. I had been a private investigator for about 4 years. I'm still getting my sea legs in terms of my skill set. My sister, I was up in the Northwest visiting my sister, and she says, hey, would you look into Sandy Hook? I say, okay. I go back, and I run across some information from Jim and Wolfgang and others, and I begin to suspect that maybe there's something that smells strange about it. That's about as far as I went until June of 2016 when the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting took place, and that was, I believe it was on a Friday night. I saw the news on Saturday. I saw a crisis actor by the name of Norman Cassiano come on. I call him a crisis actor. That's my opinion. He lifted up his shirt from the passenger seat of the gold car that he was in on Fox News, doing an interview less than 48 hours after the event, and showed me a piece of gauze taped to his back. There was no bruising. I paused it. I looked more carefully. I said, what? That's impossible, because this kid was claiming to have been shot 4 times in the abdomen. That started the journey for me. And of course, I was very quiet at the beginning, just simply showing a few coworkers what I was finding and using my open source intelligence skills to bust it out. And I became convinced. I went through a process called cognitive dissonance, where basically I had to empty out my mind and reformat everything to be able to accept the idea of a conspiracy theory. Obviously, I had all the questions that beginners have. How do they get so many people involved? How do they do it? Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's bags of money, guys. Bags of money, carrots and sticks. Anyway, I went through a bit of a transformation in my head, and then I started dabbling in the idea of conspiracy theories, reading books, looking into things, going back to JFK, going back to other things that were out there, and not really thinking that I would ever be in the public discussing them. So that said, fast forward, and you've got a whole slurry of 2016, 2017, 2018, false flag events. We had one down here in Santa Fe. A kid was shot in the back of the head, out the ear, through and through, was playing baseball that night and conducted his first interview within 6 hours of the actual shooting. There was some gauze taped over his straggly hair. And I said, that one, I don't need much more than that after all I know by now. And then, of course, Sutherland Springs happened. The Dallas police shooting happened. Other ones happened. There was other school shootings as well in Parkland. Of course, after a little while, you just know. You just know. So there's not really a whole lot of sense in saying, oh, I'm going to go pour a bunch of time and energy into analyzing this particular event. And that's why I bring up Parkland. I didn't. I simply didn't pour a lot of time into it. But now, of course, being affiliated with you, Jim, I have to be much more careful about what I say and the conclusions that I make, because when you're wrong, this community can be ruthless. I mean, they bite, and they bite hard. So I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to get bit, but I'm convinced. I'm 100% convinced that nothing in this world is what you see. It is what it appears. I'm convinced that the entire media apparatus is playing and marching to the militaristic orders of their masters. I'm convinced that all the people that you think you can trust on television are at some level, somehow, compromised. I'm convinced that all that's left is independent journalism and critical thought. And fortunately, with computers these days, there's a whole lot of critical thought that can be analyzed and put into play. And so that's what I specialize in. It's sort of what I do. I'm proud of my skill set. I'm not going to say I'm the best in the world, and I'm not going to say I'm the worst in the world. There are other people with skill sets beyond mine. I'm a generalist. So you have to think of, I look at the big picture. I try to work into it. I don't find myself often bogged down into the jot and tittle of it. Just, you know, taking a look at the big picture and testing whether or not it works or whether it doesn't work. And in my opinion, Uvalde doesn't work. There's just too much there that doesn't make sense. And I want to get to the bottom of it.
Excellent. Excellent. Absolutely. Absolutely, Brian. Meanwhile, I've mentioned Parkland. Well, those who run these ops aren't rocket scientists. They even forgot to put up the obituaries for the alleged dead students at Parkland. How bad is that? Here I have a screenshot from, you know, later than March 7th. And, of course, the shooting was supposed to be on February 14th. And the only obituary for February 14th is one Alice Levinson, who was about an 84-year-old woman who was not a student at Parkland. I mean, they just don't get it right. This is on Ancestry.com. They'll eventually go and try and make it up, you know, supplement. Las Vegas, Mona Alexis Presley did a review of all the alleged victims at Las Vegas and found that they were based upon persons who died in different states or on different dates or from different causes of death. There, the participants at the concert who thought they were assisting law enforcement and turned their cell phones or their laptops over to the FBI discovered the FBI had simply wiped them clean to get rid of the evidence. Well, here's something that slipped through the crack at Parkland. What you're looking at here, for those who will watch the video after it's posted, we have that black training dummy with no head and no arms lying on a pool of fake blood. This comes from a 57-second live leak video, which I'm going to play, and then Brian and I can discuss. Now, you'll hear these girls doing their best to scream as though they're upset. But one's on her iPod, another's worried about her bottled water. You got a kid pulling his pots. None of them are reacting as you would if they were in a state of fear or apprehension at a shooting just having taken place before their very eyes. You got persons in police uniforms going back and forth, carrying out a victim, which if it were real ought to be attended by an EMT. You got one kid holding his shoulder as though he'd been shot, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, this is childish. So listen to this. I'll play it twice, and then Brian and I will discuss. Now, watching this, you'd think, wow, the Parkland cops are really Johnny on the spot. Except Parkland gave up its police force around 2004. These are actors in police uniforms. Here's another take. Brian, I don't think Uvalde even had a video that was this bad, and this is total amateur hour. Your thoughts?
It'd be a fun thing to go and do a frame-by-frame analysis and take a closer look, maybe enhance this, enhance that. But I think that, for me, the first thing that popped out was that the voice of the crying sounded inauthentic and forced to me. You know, those are difficult things to put your fingers on. I don't believe that they kill people in these events. I believe it's all staged. I believe it's all fake. I'll go back to HDR CFX Cornwall on Las Vegas, who did a great analysis that lasted 4 or 5 hours. I think he called it loose change. You can prove that these are events where they use dummies, where they use different types of setups and different blood squibs and different things. I don't think this one is any question whether it's any different. I think you just look at David Hogg's original, earliest, and most reliable testimony and then how it developed, and you'll find that he's obviously a paid, staged player that's there for a purpose. Parkland, you know, if you look back on it, the way we feel today about Uvalde is probably how we felt back then about a week after Parkland, except I think it wore off even faster, except for the propaganda. The only thing that holds these things together is propaganda and groupthink, because anybody doing an actual analysis could break this stuff into 1,000 pieces. And what do they have to hide? Why not give us the surveillance video? Why not give us the records? What's the problem? If we're wrong, it'd be a great way to embarrass us and shut us up for a long, long time. But if we're right, you know, obviously there's something to hide.
Absolutely. 100% correct, Brian. 100% correct. Let me mention, my petition is on the docket of the Supreme Court. While I originally believed it was a First and Second Amendment case, the summary judgment protocols in Wisconsin allowed the judge to decide whether or not my facts were reasonable and exclude them if, in his subjective opinion, they were not. As you will see from my petition, which you can download to your own desktop, the Court of Appeals, 4th District, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed. In other states such as Texas, however, the case against me would have been tossed or out sent to a jury for determination of the disputed facts. But in Wisconsin, the court could in effect determine the facts regardless of my evidence. It turns out this is a national problem, and I'm teeing up the case for SCOTUS to make summary judgment protocols uniform throughout the nation. I believe they are going to do just that and set things right. I would add, Brian, that the case does not require the court to take a stand about Sandy Hook. It's just whether or not I was given a fair shake, and it's very obvious that I was not, that the judge, even in his post-verdict response to the post-verdict motion, just explained that it wasn't reasonable for me to question Sandy Hook. It wasn't reasonable for me to challenge a death certificate. It wasn't reasonable me not to pay attention to what the plaintiff was telling me, even though the plaintiff, whom I regard as a fictional person who calls himself Leonard Posner, had provided the incomplete death certificate, which had no file number, no state or town certification, to my research colleague, Kelly Watt, where in her affidavit, she testified that the published version was the same as the version he'd made available to her, and yet they insisted the court actually ruled that five different versions of this death certificate that were eventually introduced in evidence were all authentic. He ruled out my introducing all the evidence that Sandy Hook had been a FEMA drill where nobody died to promote gun control. He set that aside as a rabbit hole he wouldn't go down. And he did it all on the basis of his having the right to determine what facts were reasonable and what were not. I mean, this is so grotesquely abusive, Brian, I can hardly believe, but the way I have teed it up, the Supreme Court can smack the ball all the way down the fairway, maybe even a hole in one, without having to consider whether I'm right or wrong about Sandy Hook, because this is all about summary judgment protocols in Wisconsin being inconsistent with protocols in other states, and where I have exhausted my appeals within the state of Wisconsin, and it represents a conflict between states that is perfect for the Supreme Court under Rule 10b. Download my petition and read it, everyone. You're going to get yourselves a mini exercise in the Supreme Court. It's a fascinating case. Brian, any thoughts of yours before we hit the break and open the line to callers?
Well, I don't have any sort of legal education except for my experience as a private investigator. It's difficult for me to analyze these types of things with any sort of confidence. I can tell you that I think the most enlightening issue for me, or the most enlightening discussion for me that has ever taken place regarding the legal system and corruption within the legal system, came out of the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference in 2020. Do you remember her name, Jim, that helped you with that seminar? Falsified Conspiracies 2020 on legal corruption. It was a
Dina Pollard Sachs, I think you're talking about. She's just a whirlwind. She's wonderful. She's deeply involved.
I listened over and over and over to the same one-hour episode just because it was so enlightening to me as to how they achieved their goals in terms of controlling judges and controlling lawyers and controlling law firms. And that, of course, is a dog that they can use under the right circumstances because, again, it's bags of money that control the world, says Paul Craig Roberts. And I think it's bags of money that accomplish these false flags.
No, I think you're right. We're going to open the lines to callers, by the way, now. Remember, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. It's such a joy to have Brian with me today and to have someone of his competence and expertise. He's doing brilliant research. I'm a huge fan, and I expect he's going to be tried and true and stay on the straight and narrow, unlike Rebecca, who seems to have taken a gigantic detour. It's really, really interesting. I just encourage you, if you've got interest, remaining interest in Sandy Hook, and remember, this was a grandmother of all these false flags. It was authorized or legitimized by Barack Obama when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act in 1948. By the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook, where the Smith-Mundt Act had precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation, paid riots, staged events that the CIA was using abroad from using them within the United States. He made it all legal. So the fact that they're running this FEMA op, and where I even have the manual, which a judge, he just set all my evidence aside, even the FBI report for consolidated crime report for 2012 that showed that in the category of deaths are non-negligent manslaughters for Newtown, which includes Sandy Hook as a subdivision, there for zero. 816, mute your mic, please. 816, until I bring you in, please mute your mic. Bringing a lot of distraction here. Please.
Can you hear me okay?
I'll bring you in right after. Right. I'll bring you in right after. Okay. Yes, I will. Okay. I will. We're virtually there, and I'll bring you in right away. So, Barack Obama just set it all up to unleash the floodgate, and we've had it going nonstop, following Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, more recently Buffalo and Uvalde. We'll be right back. Our first stop after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we got a caller from the 816 area code. Caller, please give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Yeah, it's Brian from Missouri, and I just wanted to point out concerning all this false flag, winterwatch.net had a really good article. He's got really good stuff, and yesterday it was concerning one of the things you see in these false flags is they start to try and make the police look bad. Okay, like the cops wouldn't let the parents in. You know, George Floyd, oh, this policeman held them down. And what he talked about was the fact that they're trying to get their national police force. This is Hegelian dialectic stuff, because if you look at the Cheka, the NKVD, the KGB, you know, they just murdered millions of people, and they're trying to get, you know, that is what they want. They want the Cheka, and we know what happened with the Cheka. I mean, it was just absolutely horrendous. One more point when it comes to your legal case. When I hear about it, I don't know if you've ever heard of the book The Long Walk. It's just an excellent book about a Polish lieutenant who was caught up when the Soviet side rushed into Poland, you know, during World War II, and he was hauled off in front of a Soviet court, and he gave his defense, and you know, the judge said, you know, that was the greatest defense. You had everything nailed perfectly, and I sentence you to life in Siberia. And so I just hope our justice system has not gotten to the Soviet point yet.
Well, it's very interesting when Kevin Barrett, who attended my trial for damages, because it was during a summary judgment where I was representing myself pro se, that the judge at the circuit court level had found me liable in spite of all my evidence and even having two forensic document experts who agreed with me. I mean, think about it. The death certificate I published was incomplete. It turns out under Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have an incomplete death certificate. A friend suggested comparison with a driver's license. If you were shown a driver's license that had no driver's license number and no state seal, it would be incomplete. Would you in your wildest dreams imagine it would be authentic or genuine? Obviously not. So he ruled against me. And the fact is that Kevin wrote during the trial for damages, the legal lynching of a truth teller, Jim Fetzer's Stalinist style show trial. You can find it on UNZ.com. Review. It's a wonderful piece. that exactly captured the style of what I was going through. So you make a very appropriate comparison. Let me add, and I'm eager to get Brian's thoughts about this, I do believe they are wanting to play for a national police force. I do believe you are correct about that. They want to nationalize the police so they can use them as an instrument against the American people. Right now, you have all these local cops, local law enforcement, and basically they're community-oriented and do their best to serve and protect. This national police force would function on the local level, very analogous to the FBI, which is out there to benefit the administration and especially the Democrats, and it's done so in an egregious fashion, for example, by covering up the Hunter laptop and the Hillary emails on the one hand and the Hunter laptop in the other. I mean, the FBI has disgraced itself again and again. And they are right now the closest thing we have to a national police force. I think you're making a very telling point, Brian.
I think you're absolutely right. I think sooner or later they've got to get more control, be able to issue larger directives down that even can reach into the rural communities. But they're going to have a lot of resistance out in the rural communities in our areas, but I think that they really do believe that Homeland Security is going to be the center of the operation, and they're going to be able, Homeland and FEMA are going to be able to start pulling all the strings with your local police forces. No, that's a pretty tall order down here. We're pretty independent thinkers, but hey, look, they've been at this for a long time. Their plans are very, very well developed. The deception is, I mean, even most of the cops out there don't even understand what these false flags are. So I don't know how far they'll be able to go with it, but yeah, I fear it. The day's coming.
And that's why, Brian, I think what we're doing here with our law enforcement checklist ought to be highly instructive. I don't think a cop could even read through. They don't even have to click on any of the links to get the idea what the hell is going on. I think that it's self-explanatory. You just go through that list and you all of a sudden, the scales drop from your eyes and you can say, oh my God, he's right. That's what's going on here. I think that would be the reaction of most law enforcement. Do you not agree?
Oh no, they know what gunshot wounds look like. So, no, I'm not kidding. Look, let's say you're a cop and you're on the fence. Go through my Buffalo shooting video and ask yourself, should that victim, did that coup de grace look right to you? Did that victim's head explode? You know what a .223 round looks like, 3,600 feet per second muzzle velocity into a cranium. You know what they look like. It didn't happen in Buffalo. It didn't happen. So, hey, guys. Come on, something's up.
Yep. Caller, go ahead. I like the points you're making. Please share more of your thoughts. Did we lose our caller, Mitchell? Mitchell, did we lose our caller?
Yeah, it looks like it, Jim.
Please join in yourself, Mitchell. I'd be welcome your thoughts. You pay a lot of attention, and you're a smart guy. What do you think about these things?
Well, there's so much information and disinformation that it's very tough to work through it all. And it really does take seasoned investigators, because the false trails that are left are bits and pieces that are so easily taken out of context that what will happen is, you know, somebody will build a case on a faulty premise, and then next thing you know, they're getting shut down and the entire movement is discredited. And I think a lot of times that's how our government's operating, through, I don't know if you want to call it a bait and switch, kind of like if you remember on the Hillary Clinton emails, they said that they sent the emails to a Chinese construction company website, basically. It was a Gmail address that was similar to a guy or to a Chinese company. So they took everybody down that path, and then they discredited the entire thought process. Paul's on. And 808
calling back. See it there. I do recognize his number. Paul, join the conversation.
No. None of you getting it right. See, those kids had a new virulent version of the monkeypox, and what they found is that only bullets can cure monkeypox, and so that what they did is they had to kill those kids to keep them from spreading. So they did us all a favor by doing so to keep this new monkeypox in check. What do you guys think of that theory?
Yeah, that's a good one, Paul. Give us some more serious thoughts, my friend.
Well, you know, I thought that you acquitted yourself well on Friday. You know, some of the points that Rebecca was making were interesting to ponder, but it just seemed like a lot of claims or speculation without any what I call thought train behind it, especially when she said stuff about there was cleaning up blood and body parts. You know, she said that, body parts, and I'm going, what's the evidence for that? It doesn't make any sense. And I also, when I was sending a text or so, I was thinking to myself, what sort of, you know, what I call paper trail would a school or a school district have if it was open and functioning? And
your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Something happened there.
Keep going, Paul. Yeah, Mitchell just tried to call somebody back. Go ahead.
I didn't know, but I was thinking in terms of, okay, there's going to be invoices from suppliers, there's going to be utility bills. You know, any a number of ways that you could show whether a school was open and functioning or not. And I think that would just put an end to the whole debate, right? In other words, if anybody can show any kind of actual real proof that the school was open in some way, shape, or form, then fine, we can entertain other thoughts. But once we can sort of pretty much determine the school was closed, it doesn't make any sense that any real parents and real children will be taking their kids to a closed school. You know, it just doesn't, none of that adds up at all. So I think it's all 100% fake, just like you say. And
I'm glad you watched the exchange, because I think it's kind of fascinating. I mean, you know, I was touting her. I really put Rebecca on the map when I discovered her. I featured her several times. I thought she was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, you got a Newtown mom who's coming to the realization that the San Diego was fake, but now she's taking this very peculiar U-turn. It's very, very odd. Do you have a sense of what you think is going on there psychologically?
No idea. And I mean, where does she get off? What does anybody get off making an assertion about somebody being an agent or some sort of thing? And in other words, you know, it's one thing to disagree or to add new content or new perspective, but it's another thing to just make make claims, right? Call people, you know, some sort of a you know, it's like I said, it's to me, I don't get it. But
let's get,
you know, she believes what she believes. You know,
if she does, Brian, let's get your thoughts, please.
Well, look, there's a whole book. I was actually just looking it up. There's a whole document, and you can follow. It's sort of like a recipe book for how to put disinformation out there, how to confuse the listener, how to help people. Keep them in the fog and keep them, you'll see it in the comments of our shows, our BitChute channels. Go down and just ask yourself when you're looking at the comments, does this sound like a legitimate person who's legitimately concerned about the issue or pointing out a legitimate issue? Or do they sound hyper angry? Do they sound like they're trying to level different types of red herring attacks at us or whatever different types of attacks they can come up with? And what you'll see is that there are absolutely people that exist out there that have a role of providing a secondary piece of evidence that makes you look less credible. They don't know who you are. They don't know anything about you, but they'll accuse you of being a disinformation agent and say that you're being paid. They'll say that your logic is all flawed and you just can't think like a straight person. They'll say that you're a Jew hater or a Jew lover or a black or a white or whatever. And their role seems to be to screw up the comments so that when people watch your video and they see the content, what they'll do is they'll go, whoa, I don't know what to think myself because I haven't thought through it. I've just watched it. I took the information in. And so they'll go down to the comments to get reaffirmed. And, well, there's people whose roles it are to mess up the comments and mess with those people's heads and send them off on some wild goose chase or rabbit trail. And it's absolutely for real. You can see it. I've already seen it. It's already happening to me, and it's been happening in gym for years. So just think of it like a cookbook for disinformation artists, and it's out there. I'm not saying she's one of them. She might just be under some influence or in some sort of fog or thinking somehow differently. But at the end of the day, that's why I go to the earliest and most reliable evidence and try to study what's there. When I went through the crime scene photos at Sandy Hook, I did not see what I expected to see, which is a functioning school, which is a pile of blood here, which is where did the cleanup take place? How did it take it? Was it bio? Was it that? I didn't see anything that made sense. And so you just have to write it up as a, if this looks like this, then that is a bad premise. It's pretty if-then, simple, straight, logical thinking. But people would rather let the group think talk. So, I don't know about Rebecca. I didn't even listen to the interview. I'm not making an analysis. I'm just saying that we, because of what we do, find ourselves under attack all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. We have another caller here. Let's bring him in, Ken from Michigan. Go ahead, Ken. Join the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Jim. Yeah, the red flag with Rebecca was she said that you tried to influence her vote to vote for Trump. So right there was a big red flag that she's mentally libtarded.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, that Parkland shooting, too. There are a bunch of Hillaryites down there, left-wing lunatics from the Stasi. Was Sheriff Israel, and who is that Jewess there that was the head of the DNC? Real curly hair.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yeah. She was worried about losing as many as 12 Democrat seats in Florida alone. That's why they had to do it to change the narrative. This is a game plan of the Democrats. Anytime they get in political, just make something up. Kamala Harris says problem with the nanny lynching bill. No one thinks is necessary. Have Jussie Smollett pull off a false flag, even if it's absurd on its face. By the way, did I skip area code 808? If 808 isn't here, please join the conversation too. Just everyone else stay where they are. 808, are you there? Not here. Okay, go ahead, Ken and Paul. Go ahead. More thoughts.
Yeah, we can narrow it down to the right and the wrong. Pro-Trump, we would never be in this situation if Donald was president right now. But there's too many people that are zombies and just hooked into the left wing and thinking Orange Man bad. He's like Hitler. And just there, you got the Trump derangement syndrome that Mitch talked about a lot.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Yeah, Trump derangement syndrome. Indeed. Paul, I know you. Yeah, Brian first, and then Paul. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, since Ken took a little.
Paul, I'm sorry. I was asking Brian first, and then you. I'm bringing, coming back to you. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right.
The children activists, I see a lot of anger in the kids. And I think what's happening is as they start to grow into their skin and the academics have been shaping their mind the way that they've been shaping it, they're getting angrier and angrier and angrier and unable to cope with different types of stressors. What's happening is that they can feel something's wrong, but they can't put their finger on what it is. They're being told Trump bad, they're being told right bad, left good, basic stuff, and they can feel it that there's something wrong, but they can't figure it out. And when they can't figure it out, they get angry and they react And the outbursts are ridiculous. I think of some of these left-wingers, I think about how radicalized they are, and I think it's a defense mechanism that they're trying to defend their mind because it's so poorly shapen and it doesn't align itself with reality. And they're working so hard to defend it. Sooner or later, something's going to break with these kids. You know, when the world doesn't work the way you've been taught that it works, you run into a crisis. And the crisis is basically a shipwreck of faith. They're going to have a shipwreck in faith in the left-hand side. They're going to have a shipwreck of faith related to these false flag events. And it's going to be devastating, and it's going to change the world.
Paul.
Well, what I started to say was, since Ken took a shot at Rebecca, I'll refrain. I've made some general comments in the past before about women in general. They just do not think the same as men. This is actually factual. It's not just me slinging mud. And it's backed up statistically by things such as accidents. I can personally testify that when I had a brief experience driving a tow truck, every time I came to an accident on the freeway, I pretty much knew it was going to be a female versus a male. And overwhelmingly, it was also female Asians. Something about getting in accidents on the freeways. And I can tell you one thing is that also, too, in terms of victims of phone call scams from these call centers, 2-to-1 women versus men fall for these things. So there's just that factor that has to be considered. And I guess I can get away with it here because there's no women on the panel to defend them, their sex. I like women. I'm a heterosexual, but I'm also a realist. And when Rebecca kept saying, "Oh, it's easier just to kill kids," she said that multiple times. She says,
yeah.
"Oh, it's easier that way." I remember I was texting off and on, texting Dave Scorpio and Giuseppe, and I'm going, "What the hell is the matter with this woman's brain to make a statement? Oh, it's just easier to kill kids? What? Are you kidding me?"
I know.
Anyway,
I know. I'm really glad you watched it, Paul. I'm really glad. I think there's something to be learned from this. And it's like at the end of Burn After Reading, you know, what the F did we learn here? Well, I guess we just won't do it again, which, by the way, is one of the most hilarious of all the Coen films, which are absolutely sensational. If you haven't watched Blood Simple, Fargo, Burn After Reading, and a host of others, you're really missing something. These guys are brilliant producers and directors. I love their films.
I've not seen Blood Simple.
Oh, that was their first. Very, very nice. You'll like it, Paul. It's very, very good. Brian, more thoughts of your...
Mary was fantastic.
Well, when it comes to Hollywood, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers. You know, before I go watch something, I'm going to go listen to a YouTube guy by the name of the Critical Drinker. I think
the Critical Drinker. I like that.
Oh yeah. He's hilarious. He does the best analysis of films I've seen on YouTube. I really enjoy it. But I have to spend too much. I like to enjoy nature. I like to get out and enjoy the sunlight. I like to get out and enjoy myself. I don't really spend a lot of time in front of the TV. And if I do, it's probably select YouTube videos or select BitChute videos. I try to immerse myself in things that are healthy. I got to tell you, I'm not even as immersed in the conspiracy community as you might think. I'm just not that interested. I know what's going on, and I have the skills to figure out what's going on. But I have a life. I have an identity. I'm a normal guy with a wife, a family. I enjoy myself. So it's okay to have a good modicum of balance. And it's okay to have some levity about this stuff. Once you see the world for what it is, levity comes natural, and I'm all for it. Let's bust out the laughs and the jokes. I'd like to get together with you guys and have some drinks.
I think that's right. You can either laugh or you cry, and it's a hell of a lot better to laugh. We got Brian back for a final thought. Brian, go ahead. Add your final thought.
It's more than male, female. It's light versus dark. You know, I'm the one that does that Kundalini yoga. And then you start sensing what souls are. and there's like three types. There's really hateful ones. There's souls that are dark, but they seek the light. And then there's pure light. Paul, you know, myself, you, Jim, we're pure light. Okay, our souls are different from theirs. And so when I look at all this, I look at light versus dark. And that Rebecca, I didn't check, but I can guess that her soul is not of the light. And so that's what I have to add on to.
Well, I got to admit, in spite of it all, I like Rebecca. I mean, I think she's a good person. She's just confused. She just has lost her way. So something has happened with her cognition. She's got things mucked up, really, truly muddled. I'd love to take more of the conversation. I think you've all been excellent, but we're almost out, and I want to give Brian an opportunity for his final thoughts. I'm so glad he could join me this morning on short notice. Brian.
Well, my final thoughts here today, it's pretty balanced. Look, whether you've come to the realization yet that these events are massive frauds and psychological operations, it doesn't really matter. You need to live your life, and you need to find a way to live your life in peace. I think the peace comes by understanding how it works, by understanding the size and the scope and the world. As I've gotten older, I've become less angry. I have less sort of upset about me, less stress about me. It's because conspiracy theories put together everything that didn't make sense for me in the world prior to that. I'd watched the media and I thought it was left versus right. That didn't make sense. I couldn't understand the left, but then the right would lie. There was things that just didn't make sense to me. And once I began to study this stuff on a much deeper level, Pizzagate was one of the earliest ones I really sunk my teeth into. Once I began to see things as light and dark, like the caller just mentioned, and once I began to see things as two opposing forces battling for the soul of mankind, it all began to make a lot more sense for me. And so it's okay to be confused. It's okay to be a little bit lost. You have to have the critical side of your thought, but you also have to have a heart. You got a heart about this stuff. Obviously, you're concerned about kids, which is why it pulls so hard on normal individuals. But at the end of the day, they're playing a game with our minds. The whole system is a game with our minds.
Brian's wonderful. Download the PDF. Share with everyone. You got a whole course on conspiracy theories that falls back in a three-page document. Thanks for the caller. Great show.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...